Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. Those are all my gay friends in West Hollywood. Happy that I'm bringing you another episode. And this episode is dedicated to all the homosexuals and crips all over the world. Yes, my career has dwindled down to me doing a show about crips, but not just any crip. This is a crip who is known as the gay crip. Believe it or not, there are gay crips out there. Please, I don't want no smoke with crips. This is just me doing my job. The gay crip has made his rounds around the internet, and so now he's made his way right here, not right here, but right here to the Jason Lee Podcast for the first time ever. Instead of me having my colleagues here, I'm going to go ahead and bring you an interview with somebody who is known as the gay crip straight out of Fort Worth, Texas. There was a mouthful there, no pun intended. All right, enjoy. All right, I bet you never saw this one coming. I talked to a lot of people, and y'all know I used to have Crip Bay. Well, this isn't Crip Bay, so I'm going to just get that right out the gate. But please welcome to the show, Tony Wilrich. Now, you're the gay Crip.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really a Crip?
Mm-hmm.
A real Crip?
Yes.
Okay, Tony, you know, the first time I saw you, you were on Adam 22's No Jumper.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought me up. Well, how did I get brought up in your conversation? Is it because he knows me, I'm gay, and you're gay?
Refresh me, please. What did I say?
He said something. He asked you something about, am I your type or something? And I think you said I was too feminine or something like that.
Oh, I did say that. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about it. So just go on and tell me, top or bottom?
Oh, everybody knows I'm a big top.
Top?
Yeah, of course. So if clearly we're compatible, but that's not the point. The point is why, how did I get, is it because Adam only know two gay people and he just thought we would, because people think that because you're gay, I'm gay, we automatically gonna hook up. That's
right.
Not always the case.
Well, I mean, because you know, men are more sexual than women. You know what I'm saying? So like when you in the gay world, it's all about sex. Like it's all about, oh, they finna fuck. Like they think just because I come over here, we finna fuck.
Yeah.
But that ain't necessarily like what it always mean all the time.
I mean, they still young. Okay, but look, let's get right into it. So you're the gay crip. How are you a real crip?
Yes.
Okay, how did...
So, but look, you gotta understand, times is different. Like now I didn't elevate it from that. You know, now I'm doing, you know, I have three businesses. You know, I've been on TV and stuff. So like, of course I'm changing my life. But yeah, I used to really do stuff back in my day. I used to whoop shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, crips lives matter. I went viral during my campaign to become the vice mayor of my city where I said I dated a crip. Or I called him Crip Bay. That was like the name I gave him.
You dated a crip for real?
Yeah. I mean, I mean,
where was he from? Like,
No. Okay. This interview is about you.
Okay.
But
okay.
When I say Crip Bay, it like went viral because everybody was like, oh my God, he's dating a Crip. I feel like, you know, I grew up in the streets and you grew up in the streets. Some of our family members may be in the streets. And so I was surprised that people were surprised that I would be attracted to somebody who had a past of being in the streets. But when you're not actively gangbanging now.
No, we don't do that no more. Like a lot of people that's growing, I mean, if you actually growing in life, you know, like, it's some people out here that's still, like, bang-anging and shit, doing Crip shit, blood shit, whatever you want to call it. But it's like, you get to a point in your life to where you elevate, and you forget where you come from. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's some people that was still, I wasn't one of them people. Like, I want to actually grow in life and, like, elevate and, like, be on some boss shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, not everybody wants to do that. Some people want to go to jail.
Yeah.
Some people want to die for real, you know?
And they do.
And do.
Okay, so, I have to... Just for my audience that may not be as familiar with you, we got to go back a little bit. Okay, so you grew up in Texas.
Did.
That's where the country accent comes from. Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, Texas.
That's where you're from. Born and raised.
Yes.
Okay.
And they kind of got it wrong on the TV show I was on. They put Dallas, but that's because nobody knows what Fort Worth is.
Listen, I'm from Stockton. They always put the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco in the back. But those of us that come from where we come from, that's disrespectful. Fort Worth is on the map. We know.
It's DFW. It's Fort Worth, Dallas. So we're like a twin city. You know what? Minnesota and St. Paul, they're a twin city. So like Fort Worth is right here and Dallas is literally right here. It's right down the street.
Okay. So how did you grow up and become a Crip? Let's just get to that.
So I kind of like almost raised myself in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like I had one of the mamas that went and did her thing. You know, I had one of the dads that said that, oh, well, if I can't be with you, then I don't want nothing to do with the son. And, you know, that kind of like made my mama go into like a bad place. So I kind of really raised myself, you know, still love my mama. You know, I don't care what happened. We still made it. We still made it through, you know. But I had to get raised by the streets because nobody else was raising me. And back then, you know, gay really wasn't accepted how it is now, you know. But when I was getting ready to come up, I mean, you know, it was more cool to be undercover versus being openly with it. And it was more fun, too. You can't lie. It was more fun to be undercover, you know?
Fun how?
Because it's more spontaneous. Like, when you dealing with an undercover nigga, like, it's like, they more like fun. Like, you can't lie. When you dealing with an open...
I'm not corroborating
when
anything.
When you dealing with an open person that's open and want to tell everybody, it ain't as fun as dealing with a closet.
Well, I will
Is
say,
it most,
I,
more fun to have sex on a bed or the closet? Which one?
Well, I don't get on the floor, so no, I'm too old for that. But I will say, I think being private and being keeping your business, you know, close to the chest, I think is a good thing. I don't think, yeah, I don't.
If you're born, just say.
I don't understand why people. No, I just don't understand why people need to tell everybody who they're having sex with. Like, for what? Like, what do you get out of that?
Nah, I feel like.
But DL though is different than.
I mean, at the end of the day. I know everybody got their preferences. Some people don't care. Some people care. I just feel like dealing with DL people just more fun.
So do you like DL people now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so
I
now,
currently deal with somebody that's DL.
Wait, before we get to that. So now that everybody knows you're the Gay Crip, you've branded yourself as the Gay Crip, you've been over all the hip-hop platforms. Now you're on Hollywood Unlocked. You're sitting here with Jason Lee, who dated Crip Bae. Mm-hmm. Are more DL guys sliding in your DMs?
I'm not going to lie, no.
Why?
So I guess, like, you know, you got to keep in mind, I'm from Fort Worth. So it's not really a lot of gay people from Fort Worth.
Yes, you just don't know.
I may not know. But versus Dallas, all the gays are there. All the DL, all the gays, everything in Fort Worth, it's more original. So if it is undercover people that are there, but you never know. And every time because like now, when somebody come out, don't nobody really care. Like, it's like, okay, P. Diddy, the stuff that's going on with P. Diddy. Like, yeah, they care.
Allegedly.
But
allegedly.
It's like, oh, shit. Allegedly. Gotta add that in there. Allegedly not gay. Allegedly gay or whatever. Doing whatever he doing. People care, but it's like, it ain't just really that. Like, don't nobody really just care that much.
So would you have slept with Diddy if he would have slept in your DM?
He pays. So, yes.
Allegedly.
He pays. So, yes, I would have walked through the door. I would have grabbed the baby. Put some on me and he'll know we're going back.
Okay, so now you're the Gay Crip in Fort Worth. People know you're gay. How do you go from I'm gay to let me become a Gay Crip? Like, do you get jumped in? Because I saw Unk, you had that whole podcast with Unk and the other Crips. They called you guys Unk and Punk, which I thought was disrespectful, but were you okay with that? You okay with
that? I didn't care. I'm not offensive. I mean, I'm not easily offended. Unk did not really like the Unk and Punk, but, you know, two different people, different category. He didn't really like it after. He actually kind of stormed off. They actually had to clip some of the stuff out because me and him kind of almost did, like, really get into it pretty bad.
The host.
Yes, Unk. We kind of, like, he said some disrespectful stuff to me, and I had kind of, like, said some disrespectful stuff to him, like, calling him all type of, well, undercover, you probably undercover, and this, that, and if you claim, you know, it was a lot of shit that I had said that I apologize about, but he was not okay with it.
So, Unk was a Crip, too?
Yes.
Okay. Going back to how you started being a Crip, in that interview, I remember they asked, did you get fucked in, jumped in, all that, which, that whole interview was crazy. Way into being a Crip?
So it was a few fine boys that was in the same Crip clique, is what I like to call it, as that I was in. And I always kind of liked it, you know, one of the boys that was in the clique or whatever the case may be. So, but I did get jumped in or whatever the case may be, but I also did the other way too, which is what I said at the same time. I basically did both of them.
That was part of your initiation for real?
Yes.
And they were straight?
Yes, they were straight. I think that people are straight even though they didn't do a couple of gay stuff. You know what I'm saying? You don't believe that?
Yeah,
like that you could be straight and also may do a gay something one day. Like,
I mean, we think that because we've had lots of experiences with people who are straight or live a straight life that have dibble dabble. So but nobody watching this is gonna believe that.
Oh my God! So that's why I'm here to educate people. That's why I feel like we're here to educate.
No, don't we? Not people, no. You're here to educate. Don't put
let
me in. We
it's okay.
Now you and the Crip click. I don't want no. I'm a vice mayor of a city. I'm here to do my job for the culture. I'm just bringing the gay Cripness closer to you. So the guys that you were involved with, they were your homeboys who were straight Crips that ended up. So they slept with you, and as part of your initiation.
One of them did.
As part of your initiation. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, but I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't really a part of the initiation. It was like it would have happened anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we can lap that in there too with the initiation.
But did you ever hook up with any more of the homies during your Crip tenure? No. I don't know what it's called.
No, I didn't. I didn't want to. Like, a lot of the masculine boys that was when we were younger. You know how we were younger and we used to like the, you know, the more stocky men, the more masculine men. Stuff
I
like
didn't.
That.
I mean, you I did? I didn't mess with guys until I got older.
So you like this is new?
No, it's not new. I'm much older now.
Okay.
So like I was with girls till I was like 18, 19 years old.
Okay.
So at like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I wasn't thinking of, or 14, 13, whatever. I wasn't thinking of guys then.
Oh, well, I guess, I don't know. I guess everybody is different from different cities. You know, I'm from Fort Worth. So a lot of the people from Fort Worth, like the gays, like they're more into like the masculine men.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bottoms in Fort Worth is what you need to understand. So
The bottom count is heavy.
Bottom count is heavy in Fort Worth by DL and open. So
the DL guys too?
DL too. It's crazy. It's the, we living in the last days. But yes. So yes, the Crip clique that I was in, I didn't mess with everybody. I'm not just a slut bucket, you know? Like, I'm not a slut bucket anymore, but...
anymore. But most gays are... Most
slut buckets? Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, no, I'm not...
Because it's easy. The access is there.
I know, but at the time, I guess you could say that I was, but I didn't find nobody else attractive in the Crip group or whatever the case may be. So I did something with one person, and then they jumped me in, and then after that, I started doing Crip stuff. Like... And I was young. Mind you, I was young. So, yes, I was kind of more, I guess you could say, being a follower.
Were you doing, you know, Crip stuff like scamming, shooting, fighting, robbing?
I was more doing scamming.
Okay. A lot there's of different Crip categories.
Yes, I don't do none of that stuff no more. I've already been arrested, been in jail, convicted already, so it's okay. But I really didn't do a lot of the, you know, kicking the doors with the Black Forces on. You know, I'm more of a Versace, you know? So, I really wasn't doing any of that stuff. Like, everybody was doing all of that bad stuff. I kind of was involved sometimes. One time I got involved in an accident where they was doing a break-in to a house, and I was the driver, and I still ended up going to jail. But after that, I never did no more of that stuff no more.
When you were in jail, did you mess with people?
So in the Fort Worth jail, the Tarrant County, it's gay people in there, and it is undercovers that be trying to mess with you, but Tarrant County knows this. Like I told you, it's a lot of bottoms. They got it to where you can't do nothing. Our jail is open, like, and the cells, the little thing is like this big, so it's no doing nothing in the jail. The only thing you can do is sex talk. That's it.
So being gay in our culture, Black culture, hip-hop culture, gang culture is like taboo. Nobody wants to talk about it or accept it. How have people accepted your openness with being gay and claiming Crip? Because some Crips, because Crip organization ain't just Fort Worth. It's like Crips everywhere. Crips here.
Nobody ever judged me except the people over there at Adam 22's building, place, podcast, whatever you want to call it. Nobody has ever judged me. Back in Fort Worth, nobody ever said anything until the clout part of it came about. Everybody wants clout. If it don't have nothing to do with clout, let a person that is a gay Crip come out and they don't get no clout off of it. Nobody would have cared. Everything nowadays is a popularity contest, I feel. And the fact that I had got a lot of clout from it, then you seen all of these fake haters come out of nowhere saying, oh, well, he better quit playing for I do this to him and stuff like that, only because they seen me having clout. You know what I'm saying? So nobody ever judged me until I went over there to see Adam, you know, when they asked me all those questions about being a gay Crip and this, that, and the third. But nobody ever did nothing to me, you know. I feel like we are powerful in our own way. Like, you gonna come into my aura and you gonna know not to play with me. Like, you're going to know what I'm really about. Like, I really used to fight. Like, I'm really a fighter. Like, you know, I was on the show, Drewski.
Yeah, I saw.
And I was the only one really popping shit on her. I was the only one really whooping shit. Nobody else was really doing nothing. That was just me, you know?
So, over at Adam 22, was it Crip Mac? Who was it that you were into it with?
The one with the braids. Mm-hmm.
But what was his thing? What was his issue with it? He felt like you were making a joke, or?
So, I feel like he might... let me say allegedly. I feel like he allegedly might be one of us. You know what I'm saying?
Allegedly.
And I feel like that he just mad. Because, you know, it always be the mad ones. it always be the ones that claim that they don't rock like that or want none of that and really be wanting some of that. So that's what I feel like he is. I feel like he was just an undercover hater, for real.
And so how did that interview come about, that they found you online with all of what you had going on?
They saw me popping in, you know, back in Fort Worth, you know, taking pictures with other Crips and shit. And they wanted me to come. They asked me to come. And, you know,
they
that
wanted
was,
you to visit.
They because I just said come. Okay.
Because I'm in L.A. Look, Hoover, the gang, neighborhood, I'm cool with Big U, I'm cool with everybody. I don't want no Crip problems. I don't want no problems.
Well, they saw me cutting up back home, and they wanted me to visit. They wanted me to visit them, and I came and I visited. And that was really my first, like, introduction into, like, the industry. You know what I'm saying? That was my first real, like, I don't know, I guess I want to say introduction into Hollywood. You know, even though I really just didn't get as successful as I would have liked, that was my, like, door opener. So I really wasn't on no shit like, oh, well, charge them. You know, because my manager was like, okay, well, you're finna start being a rapper or whatever the case may be. You're trying to do the rap career, trying to be in the industry. So how much are you going to charge them? But I was just so excited to just jump into the field and start doing shit that, you know, I didn't think to say, okay, well, my fee for this, or you need to book my plane, all the other type of stuff. But, like, you know, so it was really just like a new thing to me. I wasn't, you know, in the spotlight until that.
So you went on the Coulda Been house with Drewski. How did that end up happening? And did you hook up with the little midget?
No, I did not want his little ass. And I did not want nobody from that episode. I mean, from that whole shebang, I didn't want
nobody.
Not
even the white boy
that.
With the tattoos on his.
No, I didn't want nobody. Everybody was just so disgusting. The only person I really clicked with was Bae. She was the one that won the show. And it was another girl. Her name was Sierra. She's a little white girl. And me and her got along really good. And I still speak to them, too, every day. But everybody else was just so disgusting to me. I just felt so disgusted on the show. I felt like that I was just so out of place. And then I was going through so much while I was on the show. I just felt like I was around a bunch of handicapped people. I felt like everybody had something wrong with them.
There's nothing wrong with the handicapped.
Everybody had something wrong with them. Glock eye pointing this way while this eye looking this way. Motherfuckers shitting in the toilet and not flushing the toilet. I just did not. I was just
and
so
why was the little one humping everything all the time? What was that?
Like
about?
I said, handicap. Everybody just handicap. Everybody need a handicap sticker before they can go in the store. Like,
but what was the Coulda Been house? Coulda Been what?
Coulda Been, man. I don't know. It was just some bullshit. Everybody was there. Can I curse?
Yes. Okay. Everybody was there to get that $50,000. Okay. Basically, right.
Everybody was there competing. The reason for the show is for a record deal. So if you win, or if you do good enough, or if, you know, if you're picked, then you get a record deal with Coulda Been House or Drewski or whatever the case may be. But the ugly guy won, the one with no teeth. He won the show, and Bae won. So it was two people that won. The only person that really had talent was
Bae. How did he win a record deal with no teeth?
That's what I was trying to figure out. So, like, what? Are y'all really looking for talent, or are y'all looking for people to make y'all look good so you can stand next to them and you look better than who, you know, you standing next to? He didn't have no teeth, but he won the show. Ugly as hell won the show. No hair won the show. I just did not understand how, I didn't know what we were there, you know, really there for. Like, they treated us so bad. Like, Drewski treated us so bad. Like, when I was there, I remember doing a scene, and he had some person portraying a coach, had on a army fit and all this other type of stuff with a cowboy hat. I forgot what his name was, but he came and he took my glasses and, like, snatched them off and threw them on the ground. It's like,
well, that's to start a fight or something.
I know,
right?
But no, he was, our contract said that we're not allowed to fight the administrators. We're not allowed to, like, get rowdy and shit with the people that are filming or the producers or nothing like that. But it was so many times where I just wanted to just go ahead and get sued, because at this point, y'all were playing with my character. Because I'm, like I said, I'm really a Crip. So I really would have whooped him. You know what I'm saying? But my contract says I cannot. But really and truly, I would have whooped him.
And if a gay Crip would have beat him up, that, I mean, you can't, on TV, you can't recover from that. Because they really, people do think that, like, that gay people, that we're soft or we're scared or we won't really get you.
Yes, and I was not the one to be taking no glasses off and breaking my glasses. Like, I paid a lot of money for that. So it really upset me that And Drewski laughed, you know, and I didn't like that. They treated us bad. They fed us ramen noodles. We didn't get no good home cooked meals. No,
you don't like ramen noodles, though?
I love ramen noodles, but it's like we're not getting celebrity treatment. Yeah. Like y'all,
you're at work. You should be getting fed decent meals.
Yes, I did not like that. I didn't like how it seemed like I was in jail, kind of. They took our phones. Like, I know that some shows like Zeus, you know, I know you've been on Zeus before.
I was an executive producer on the show. I was not.
Oh, so you treat people how Drewski treat people?
No, actually, you know what's funny is I did the show. I executive produced Bobby, I Love You, Purr. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was one of the cast members went and said how I was, you know.
Mean.
Yeah, and like set them up to burn the house down. Or,
oh,
like,
so you can kind of relate to Drewski is what you're saying.
No, well, let's be very clear. When you're producing a reality show that's based and embedded in conflict, you have to create an environment for people to show up, right? Because otherwise, I mean, I come from Love and Hip Hop. So right. When you get the set, if everybody's getting along and everybody's friendly, you don't want, I mean, that nobody wants to watch that. You might as well just turn on, I don't know.
I mean, I understood that part, but it was a lot of stuff that happened.
But we were fed well. We fed them well. We were not. You know, you got to treat your cast well.
Yeah,
know?
I don't feel like they treated us good.
So did you ever tell Drewski?
I couldn't. We weren't really able to be in the same room as him. Like Chris Brown, Snoop Dogg, Drewski, all of the people that was on his show, they were like so segregated from us. The only time we ever got to be in communication with them is when we were like in a scene together or filming or anything like that. We weren't like Glock. He was the one that was doing the most. He was trying to like barge in with them, and he had got in trouble a few times because he was actually like trying to like get back there where all the celebrities were.
What did he want to do back there with them?
I don't know, clout.
But Snoop was on the show. Big Uncle Snoop was on the show, and the gay crib, the two cribs didn't get to get together, do a crib together.
Everything was kind of like organized. I don't want to say scripted because they didn't have us do anything or say anything. They kind of let us do whatever we want to do, but we didn't like get to actually like have real heart-to-heart moments with anybody. Everything was kind of like forced, you know, and I just feel like that we didn't get the treatment that we deserved. You know, I feel like I had built, you know, my name up. I may not be, you know, a Beyonce or nobody, but I did what I did to do, you know, to be on a show and get treated good, you know, like feeding me ramen noodles and making me not have my phone for 24 hours and all this other type of shit and talking to us crazy and the security guards, they nothing how Zeus is. If you bucket one of these security guards, you fuck around getting knocked out. Like Zeus, I be seeing they back up off people. That you could tell him, move, get the fuck up off me. I'ma slap this, like Tommy, how she be slapping the shit out of the security guards.
Tommy
couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do that to the security guards. Like, and then at the reunion, like you can't bucket none of the producers or the like the Drewskis or the people that he got put in place. You couldn't do it.
But was there that kind of tension on set all day? Yes. It was conflict?
Yes, and I was mad. I was really mad. When they had Crip Mac come in there and do that little thing and try to little boy me and all this other stuff, act like he don't know who I am, and I couldn't really say what I wanted to say because I started to get ready to go off and Drewski had said something. She's like, you can't say that on my shit. You ain't doing it on my shit. Cut that out. He was looking at the camera, people telling him to cut it out and stuff. I'm like, so is this a reality TV show or is this the Drewski boost you up more show?
So what do you feel like? What do you feel it was more like a setup?
Yes.
And so when you went on Adam 22, what do you think you did for Adam's ratings? You think you made?
I did. I feel like I boosted his show up and made him who he is today.
Adam 22?
22. Now.
Wait, you made Adam 22?
Okay, excuse me. I did not make.
What you said. If you made Adam 22, do not stand on that.
I didn't push him out my asshole, but I birthed his career. Like, I helped him boost his podcast up. Like we did millions of views on his shit. Like,
I'm not the only person that got the visual of you pushing Adam out your ass. Cause Adam is, I don't know if Adam is straight.
Well, I didn't birth him, but yeah. I definitely like helped add on to that show. And this I ain't even gonna say it ain't no disrespect, man. It might even be disrespect. But I helped that motherfucking show. Before I came on there, nobody was really just watching. People from Fort Worth was like, what is that? What is No Jumper? Is that like some type of basketball show? Or are they talking about basketball? No, it's an actual rap podcast. So, like, when I went on there, it, like, put the eyes on him. Nobody knew who Adam or Brick or Sharp or none of that was. Nobody knew. Maybe people from L.A.
Sharp, I mean, he was pretty quiet on the podcast, right?
He was.
Why was he sitting back studying? Was he, like, uncomfortable?
Because I think he probably the only straight one there for real. He was really like, he
even
was.
What's the big Crip Mac, right?
Crip Mac.
You okay. Think Crip Mac's getting?
He ain't even a human. I don't know. He's not even a person for real. Like, I don't even, whatever planet he come from, they don't have gay and straight over there. They just peep. I don't know. He just gave like that. He's like, I don't know. He's artificial intelligence. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what NPCs are? Mm-mm. You don't know what non-factor player, I think that's what they call it. Like, it's,
I
like,
never heard that.
Are you spiritual? You know anything?
Yeah,
about
but my God is not gay or crip.
Who is your
not,
God?
Let me not talk about we interviewing you.
I was just asking.
My God is a forgiving God, and Crip Mac is going to forgive you for saying that you think he's an animal.
Well, I mean,
weren't friends. You guys were pretty friendly on the show. I mean, the only time I saw it was in the beginning where he talked about you wearing orange, but then y'all all talked about everybody wears orange as a Crip. I didn't know that y'all.
When he came into the show, we were friends, but when he came onto the Drewski show, we were not.
Okay. So you did the podcast before Drewski?
Did.
Okay. So once he came there, he was a different person.
A different person on the Drewski show, yes.
Okay, got it.
And I feel like that he was, you know what? This is what I can call him, a puppet. And I feel like that Drewski was the puppet master. I don't think Adam is a puppet master. I think he more lets people be themselves. But when he went on to the Drewski show, he kind of let Drewski manipulate him into turning on me after the conversations that we had. Now, I know it's TV, and I know that we do certain things on TV that we would not do in real life. But in some place, it needs to be a boundary. It needs to be a respect. It needs to be, okay, I remember we had this conversation, so I'm not going to switch up too much on TV. I may amplify and add more of my character, but I'm not going to, like, go against what me and you have already talked about. You know, it's been so many times I see stuff happen on TV, and they was just friends when the cameras wasn't rolling. But now that the camera's rolling, you want to turn into a different person. That's who I call an artificial person, artificial intelligence entering your brain.
So as big as Crip Mac is, you got the
as
heart.
As big or as big?
You would have fought him.
Oh, as big. Yes, I would have. And I did post up to him on this show.
Really? On the Drewski show?
They edited and manipulated and did what they needed to do, but I posted up on him and was ready to swing.
What did he say? What was his response?
He did some shit like a bird. He did some shit, whatever. I posted up with my Crip post.
What's and a Crip post?
Like, I posted up how I used to fight in the streets.
Yeah.
He did some shit, some Burke, L.A. shit, I don't know. But I did my Fort Worth shit, and we was ready, I was ready to.
And it was about to go down.
He's a big-ass motherfucker. You know, I'm a firm believer in the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to make his ass fall that day. I did.
Wait, so how did your rap career start and end with the Adam 22 show? A show didn't end your career.
It didn't end my career, but after going on that show, I saw myself like going down. Cause before I had even went there, I had did a music video that was on its way. And I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And I think if you let certain people come into your life, they can block your blessings. And I feel like if you let people like come in a little bit too close and become your puppet master, that can block what you was supposed to be doing in the first place. So yes, I had a song that was on its way up. Every day I would go, the views and the streams would go up even more. But it's like right when I was getting ready to go to Adam 22, No Jumper, it's like my career started to go down. Mm. It's like the value of Tony Weirich started to depreciate.
Because of what?
Because of the type of show that I decided to be a part of. Because of the type of people that I started to let in my aura, you know, they brought my value down. And I didn't like that. So that's why I'm so glad I'm at the Jason Lee show, because maybe my value can come back up.
I mean, you just started beef with Crip Mac. you made Adam 22 after he came out your ass or you came out his ass. Wait, are you a bottom or a top?
A verse.
Do you believe in that?
No, but I mean,
I feel like verse is like this thing that bottoms say to feel safe,
mm-hmm.
Right?
But at the same time, verse is the most common preference in the gay community.
Is it?
I believe so, because you get some people that will top certain people and some people won't top and have to get bottom because of the type of person that you are. You know, like it could be a person that claims they're a top and then meet somebody that bring that bottom out of them.
That's what you thought I was. That's crazy. All right, so, All right. So, Fort Worth. So, growing up in Fort Worth, now Fort Worth is in the news. We've been posting on Hollywood Unlocked that rapper and his 5-year-old that just got murdered. How crazy is that? How'd that happen?
You know, it's really heartbreaking to kind of talk about that because, you know, I've kept quiet and I really didn't say anything. And I know that people in my city was looking for me to, like, say something about it. You know, his daughter got shot, not just him. And I watched the video and I looked at him like run. And I feel like that he was doing like a deflect, you know what I'm saying? To no, shoot me. Don't shoot my baby, you know? So he kind of like ran to like take the tension off his daughter and put it on him so he gets shot and not his baby.
And did they shoot and kill her intentionally?
I believe they did because a lot of people will say they didn't. They'll be like, no, they didn't mean to shoot the daughter. But he was getting out the car. And I know that when you're shooting someone, you're not looking to make sure nobody's in the car. But I do know that back in Fort Worth, in the streets, and I'm from the streets, so I know if something is going on in the streets, it's people so ruthless and evil, they will say, get his mama too. Get his daughter too. And if you see him with this person, get them too, the friend. That's how it go in the streets. If you do something to somebody, they want to get your whole family. They want to get whoever you with, you know? And I don't know what happened with him, but I guaranteed you that it had something to do with his friend, Goyeyo. You know who Goyeyo is?
I have no clue who that is.
Allegedly. Nobody knows nothing from Fort
Allegedly.
Worth. Nobody knows nothing from Fort Worth, I tell you. But I guaranteed you know Lil Yella Beezy and Liam. He from Dallas.
Lil Beezy, that's the one whose penis came out.
Yes, yeah, him.
Yella Beezy. We write the story and I'm gay. Clearly
yeah, and
Lil
he
Beezy
ain't
is.
Even really doing shit no more. But Goyeyo is like the head honcho of the group that Get Money Lil Ronnie was in.
Okay.
People are always dying around him. You know, people are always coming up, you know, something happening to him. And I believe that everybody be having shit on them that they can't get off of them. And like, people be wanting him and it be people that be around him that dies. You don't believe that when somebody goes around somebody and they end up dying, like just by being around somebody?
I told you before we start, I don't hang with nobody.
Oh, you're alone.
So I stay in my own world.
No friends?
Yeah, my friends, we have a very small group. None of us are in the mess. We ain't into the streets. Oh, yeah. We don't associate.
No
with
mess? Time. Jason Lee, no mess?
No. See, Jason Lee that knows how to do his job well, does his job, and then goes about his life.
Oh,
I don't live in that. Yeah.
So that's not you for real. You just do with your job. But of course. In your personal life, it's
yeah,
nothing
it's just
like
it's just like when you show up to have sex with somebody, you ain't having sex all day, every day. You show up, do your job, go to sleep, go home, or whatever. But you ain't doing it all day long. It's a job. I put in my work and I go home.
Well.
But this person that you're saying lives in toxicity, the rapper, I don't know who
he
is.
Yeah, and I don't like him. And everybody be like, Tony, why do you not like him? Like, what is it? You don't want to try to get to know him, give him a chance? No, I don't. I can see, I can see some bullshit before I get to it. You know, like I can kind of like sense, okay, this person is somebody that is just not good. They bad vibes. I need to stay away from them. Every time somebody gets around him, they end up dying. Like, it's more people, you know, and that's why I feel like every time when he's in some shit, he goes to jail. Like right now he's in jail. So jail is like his protection. You know, he's being protected right now in jail. Like even though nobody wants to be in jail, can't nobody get to him, you know? So I just feel like it's some bullshit, you know, because Get Money, Lil Money, he don't be in nothing. He's like another, you know, don't be in no mess.
Yeah, but then now him and his 5-year-old daughter are dead. That was crazy. And I've seen the video too. So now that you're out of it, you're still a Crip because once you're a Crip, from what I hear, you're always a Crip, right?
Always. I have to die that. You know, that's what the rules were, the rule book. When you jumped into it, you can't just get out of it.
So there's no Crip retirement program?
No, you have to retire with no benefits. Like you have to.
So you gave up rapping. So now what are you doing?
Nothing.
You're something, dude. Now this is where everybody goes, oh. Can't feel sorry for a Crip. So you got to be doing something.
I'm doing the best I can. I have 3 businesses. So right now I have a tax office. I have a hair salon. And then I have the Tony Weary Steel Recovery and from being a former gay Crip or whatever you want to call it. My music, I ain't going to lie to you. You know, sometimes people just got to just realize that they getting too old for trying to chase a music career. You know, I'm 28. So it just is what it is. Like, you got people out here 55 still trying to rap, you know? You got people out here still thinking that they can make it, spend their last on a music video. You know how good people graphics is now? And it's just trash. Music is ass. I ain't gonna say my music ass, but I mean, hey, it is what it is. People might not think that my music all that, but it's only one person I will say that actually is gay and has made it a successful rap career, and that's Lil Nas X.
I knew this was coming. Why is Lil Nas X the North Star for
gay rappers? He's the only gay person that was successful, made a successful gay rapper career. Who else can you think of?
Saucy Santana.
Saucy Santana is okay.
Saucy
like,
Santana.
Excuse me. Saucy Santana. You know, Saucy Santana said a couple of things about me.
What did Saucy say?
On the juice, like, okay, they were doing this little thing where they were reading tweets from people that were Twittering or whatever you want to call it. I don't have a Twitter. But he had said some bullshit about me, talking about something. I didn't know that we had gay Crips born into the world. I didn't know that that was a thing or something he had said or dick taking Crip or something. I don't know, something he had called me on Twitter or something. And they didn't release it on the Drewski show, but I remember hearing that, you know. But I know that everything is a clout chasing moment.
You
for
think
everyone.
Saucy was trying to?
No, I think that everything is a clout chasing moment, not getting clout off me, but getting clout off a moment. You know what I'm saying? There can be such things.
But do you think Saucy was throwing shade on you?
I was the only gay dick taking Crip there.
So, you know? So would you collaborate with Saucy or fight him or both?
I don't know. I would probably do the collaboration thing, but I don't know if he fucks with me like that, because, you know, he has thrown a lot of shade, you know, with that little thing. But like I said, everything is a clout chasing moment. So it could have just been a clout chasing thing, but the way that you have to approach it, even though someone says something about you on the internet, when you see them, you still can't be on no friendly stuff. You know, you still got to make sure you standing on business, is what Drewski like to call it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so how do you guys deal with that? Because when I was in the reality show, I didn't know how to cut off reality show and reality. Like, I feel like when you came for me in the show, the cameras, whether they were on or not, it just was still real for me. But people know how to turn it on for cameras and then turn it off.
Not everybody knows how to do that, just like the situation. Sometimes, like, even in real life, like, even now, like, say if I say something and somebody takes offense to it on the internet, then when I see them in person, it's like the show continues, even though the cameras ain't rolling. It's like, how do I act, even though I said all of this about you on the internet, but I was only doing it because I was on the internet, on camera, but you still mad at me in real life. Like, how do we do that? How do we shake back into reality?
Well, why give up your rap career? You're 28 years old, is not old. And I don't know what being in recovery from being a former Crip rapper
I'm in recovery mode because I don't want to be a clout chaser. Like, I want things to happen organically. I don't want to try to go do something to get clout from it. So, like, if my music isn't doing too well, I don't want to try to go live about somebody just because they trending to get my views up. I want my views to be organically brought up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And right now, in the time of the industry that we in, everybody has to do that. And that's if you're actually gifted and you're meant to do this. You're meant to be a rapper, because some people just ain't meant to be.
Have you noticed, like, they never talk about Megan Thee Stallion until she's doing
something? Isn't she doing something?
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that. I don't want to have to be that. You know, she had to come out with the talking about the ex-boyfriend, which I don't think that she even really gave a fuck about him in the first place.
And she had to file a restraining order against Tory.
And then the Tory Lane situation.
And the documentary about getting shot.
Yeah, and then the documentary about the glass in the foot or some shit. Got
allegedly
shot in the pinky toe or something, or the
allegedly
big toe. Or got foot on the big foot, good foot, whatever you, big foot, whatever you want to call it. She had to do all of that stuff just because she was getting ready to release her album. So that's what I call getting ready to go broke. Getting ready to go broke, so have to do clout stuff to be rich, you know? And I don't want to be there. I want it to just happen. I want this to be meant for me. I don't want to have to do nothing for nobody.
So what celebrity you want to sleep with? Like, because they all be watching my stuff. Who you want to slide in your DMs? Like, what's your type?
So I like men that have money, but at the same time, I also like men that like to have fun and stuff. So I feel like that would be Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan, you know, he just looks very good. He looks very good to a lot of different people. So you got to understand it's two types of different lust. So you got the, oh, he looks good lust, and then I like his spirit lust. So Michael B. Jordan is more like his spirit lust.
Okay, who's your he looks good lust?
Chris Brown.
That's your type.
You know, I was trying to twerk on him in the Juicy Show. You know,
Chris wasn't going for that.
He was looking the other way, but then again, remember what I told you. He got to look good for the camera. What if he was only doing that because he knew the
Chris
camera?
Chris Brown, we're not going there. Chris.
So he was like, oh, the camera watching. Let me not look at him. But what if the cameras wasn't rolling?
Chris was not going to watch you twerk on him. Stop it.
I was so trying to. I ain't going to lie because he was standing over there a little bit too close. And my homegirl, I said, well, Tony, we got to follow the rules. I'm like, bitch, I'm going to twerk. And I had, because they was trying to get us to do some type of dance. Juice, because it was a dance contest. So, like, Chris Brown came in. The girls, you know, they got excited and shit. He was like, okay, we're going to do this type of thing. Man, if I didn't get up and get to twerking that motherfucking thing, shit. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to twerk. I don't know how to do this. Shit, I know how to shake a little left cheek, right cheek. Shit.
Did you win?
No.
You didn't follow the rules.
Hell no.
Okay, so what? So then, and so you left the show. You fought your way out. Who was the fight with?
The fight was with the person with gums as teeth.
One that won.
Mm-hmm.
So you beat up the winner.
I lost to a person with no teeth.
Yeah.
That was the reason for my fight with him. Now, I'm gonna be real with you because, like I told you, even though the camera's rolling, I'm gonna keep it 100. I had to go out with a bang on that show, and it's always been my dream to run across a reunion and dive into a couch and beat somebody.
Well, then you need to just get on the baddies because that's why I stopped hosting the reunion. That's all they do. Literally hours. Matter of fact, I'm going to see if I can get you on the set of one of the reunions just so you can see. They just have one, but 16 hours of fighting. I could never do it again.
I only wanted to do it one time. I didn't want to make a career out of it. I don't want to do what the baddies do. And just have to fight every day, fuck up your skin.
Yeah. You know, and your Jayla aura.
Yeah, and your aura. Jayla got this thing right here for the rest of her life from getting bit. You know, she's gotten bit right here on her neck. You don't watch Batty? You produced it.
I executive produced and hosted one reunion and never went back.
Okay, well.
Two reunions.
I just wanted to, because when I grew up, I was watching you on Love & Hip Hop, you know, you with everybody. And I watched the reunion. Everybody would get ready for the reunion. Everybody wants to fight at the reunion. So growing up, that was like the thing. The reunion is where all the fights gonna be. And it's always been my dream to like run across the stage.
And you did it.
As the wind is blowing through your hair and just running through the stage, running through the crowd as the crowd gets up. Tony! And then I'm diving into a motherfucking couch, beating somebody else. That's always been my dream.
And you did it.
And I got to do it. So I'm glad that I got to actually be a part of that.
Tony, you're not supposed to sit here and glorify that your biggest life goal was to run across the stage and beat somebody up.
It was. Okay, fine.
That show got 10 million views. I mean, it got crazy views.
It did, and I feel like I deserved it a lot more. I don't know what to say, what opportunity from that, because I was actually the first person to pop off the fights at the ring. Everybody was scared. When we was in the back room and everybody was talking about what they gonna do, yeah, I'm running up on such and such. We had been filming for 30 minutes. The girl said that she was running up on the other girl. I'm waiting on her to run up, you know, because they was like, well, Tony, we gonna do this first. You know that they edit and cut stuff down. We had been recording for like 45 minutes. Nobody was swinging. Nobody was trying to fight. Nobody was popping shit off. Man, I got up and started that shit and ran up and died in that couch and beat the shit out of him because I got tired of waiting. For one, nobody wanted to fight for real. I was the only person that wanted to fight.
Mm. Okay, so now what are you fighting for?
Like,
in life.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm trying to figure that out right now, literally. Like, I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm finna do after I leave the Jason Lee Show. Like, what am I going to do?
I mean, you're in Hollywood. You can go look for Chris Brown.
I know. I could do that. I said that. I said I could try to find it. He lives here?
He lives in Tarzana.
I'll
give you his address. Listen, follow Tony the Gay Crip everywhere you can and just...
I just want to just have fun. I just want to link up. That's it. I don't want to do no crazy gay stuff. I just want to just link up and just, I don't know, shoot pool or something.
With who?
Chris Brown.
Bye.
All right, that's it. Crips everywhere. You're releasing him back to your community. and to ours. That was the Gay Crip. You can comment below. Tell me what you think. All right. You can also download the podcast everywhere podcasts are streamed. You can share this across all social media. We want it to go viral because we want people to know that Crips come in all shades and colors and sexes. All right. Or sexual orientations. All right. If you're gay or a Crip or just want to contact the show, you can text me right now. 310-388-6463. Right here below. 310-388-6463. Don't abuse it unless you're cute. Bye. The Jason Lee Podcast.